Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host, and this is show number 416 for July 2020. Now, in this month's show, we're going to talk about being safe at home while you travel or while you work in your office. Personal safety is an important topic no matter where you are or what you're doing. Now, we're not talking about martial arts or complicated self-defense moves. We're talking about simple steps that you can take to avoid becoming a victim of a crime. Avoiding the crime before a physical confrontation is the best defense. And our guest is going to pass along a few valuable tips on how to avoid becoming a victim, whether you are at home, in your car, at an airport, or on board a cruise ship. But before we start talking with our guest, I want to let you know where you can find us on the web, and that is at hometravelagent.net or on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, the initials for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. Also, feel free to email me at any time at Barry@hometravelagent.net, and that's Barry at hometravelagent.net. And on iTunes, you can just search for Home Travel Agent and the show will pop up there. Now, I want to welcome Steve Brass, the author of the book, Self-Defense for Busy People. Well, welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show interview portion of the show, and I want to welcome everybody here. And today we have the great pleasure of having Stephen Brass on the show with us. And what Stephen does, he is an instructor, a lecturer, a all-around great person who goes out and trains folks in the art of protecting themselves as they travel or as they live in their house, their car. And with that short introduction, what I'd like to do is to turn it over to Steve and let him give you a little bit more information about himself. And also, I might add before I turn it over to Steve is that he's written a great book. And he's going to talk a little bit about that. And I have read the book, and I thought it was great, and I would recommend it to you. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you, Barry. Great to be with you and your audience. My new book is called Self-Defense for Busy People. And I've been teaching a unique form of self-defense called stun and run for about 20 years. And I found people, like many things in life, have to wait for what I call a negative experience before they realize they weren't prepared. And so people often call me after they've been robbed or their identity was stolen or they've been assaulted. And then they want to learn, you know, more awareness about protecting their home, protecting their office, and protect themselves on the street, and specifically when they travel. I find people spend a ton of time planning the trip, which is always a happy occasion, but not often spend enough time talking about if something goes south, what are our options? And so after teaching these workshops at conferences and seminars and in many businesses over the years, I thought it was time to put it all into a book so that a wider audience could at least gain some of the information if they weren't able to attend a hands-on training. And so the book was born and getting great reviews.
Yeah, great. And I would add to those great reviews. And, you know, I think this is a good information for travel advisors, travel professionals, because you're dealing with people who travel. And I know some people ask the question, well, this isn't really going to happen to me. But, you know, with my background, and I come from a law enforcement background, I kind of know better than that. It can happen to anybody. And I think, Steve, you can probably add to that.
Absolutely. I think that many of us walk around what I call the bubble of complacency. We live in a safe neighborhood. You know, we've never had a serious incident. We certainly hear about it on the news, but it's something that is someone else's problem. And I'll give you a good example. I had a realtor who I met at a trade show, and she took my card and my flyer and said, I have to do this. I think it's fabulous. Everybody in my office needs to learn this. And I said, wonderful. You'll call me. I'll be happy to discuss setting up the program. Months went by, never heard anything. because people get busy in their lives. And then, well, 6 months later, I was at a farmer's market with my wife, and here was this woman. She recognized me. She came over to me and said, I really have to take your workshop. It's so important. And I know people who travel. I know people in the realty business. Took my card again. I said, great, give me a call, and I'll be happy to help you. And another 6 months went by, and finally the phone rang. And when I picked it up, I could just tell in the first few words of her voice that something ugly had happened. She said her best friend, who was dating a new man, had been murdered. And she was shocked. I was certainly surprised. And she said, how is next Saturday? I've got a group of people who want to learn your system and take your workshop. And we did it, and people said it changed their lives. But I'm hoping that people don't have to have such a shock in their lives to realize that safety is just part of our daily toolbox. And, you know, you wake up in the morning, part of your brain should say, okay, how do I look at the world differently so that I'm more aware that I can identify things that have a potential to maybe create a problem, and then I can either change what I'm doing or somehow shut it down before it ever starts. And so that begins with stepping out of the shower. You know, do you look around your home if your family members have already left and you're by yourself? Instead of just walking around oblivious to windows and doors and, you know, the normal setup of things in each room, maybe stop and look around and just make sure everything's fine. And I don't want people to become paranoid, but I do want them to become more aware, because I'm the guy who gets the phone calls after the unfortunate incident. And it's very hard then to, first of all, get over that shock, and then secondly, give people the tools so they can make a difference if it ever comes their way again. And so, you know, whether you're walking to get a coffee at the corner, or you're walking to the bus stop, the subway, or you work from a home office, all kinds of tips and strategies in this book that will give you what I call fresh eyes on how you look at your world.
Yeah, some of the things that you talk about in your book, you know, involve the situational awareness, like in the home office and when you're in your car, exiting your car and pumping gas and that type of thing, which we all do. You know, we all exit a house, and most of us have a house or an apartment, I believe, and we have a car, and those are some ideal places to become a victim. Most people probably don't think so, but it is a place, and it can happen. You talk about situational awareness in your book.
Yeah, I think probably the best self-defense system of all, and I've studied a variety of different martial arts, but I think the bottom line is situational awareness is probably the best self-defense, because the last thing we ever want to do is get into a confrontation. We want to see it before it arrives and get the heck out of there. And so, you know, some examples. I had a businessman working from a home office. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which, by the way, daytime is the highest targeted time period for home break-ins. You know, the reason is crooks know that you're either at work or you're at school, and probably no one's home. And so this home was targeted. Now he's sitting in his front office, which faces the front of his home, and he sees a man walking up the sidewalk towards his door. He wasn't expecting anyone, so he thought that was kind of odd. And his gut, for some reason, told him, look out the back door. So he quickly went to the back of his home, and he saw two guys jumping over the back wall. So he knew trouble was coming. So at least they hadn't reached his home. He called 911, and he panicked. He has a firearm, but he couldn't remember where he kept it. So he jumped in his car, and he just drove away. You know, instinctual response, get out of there, which is fine. But I saluted him, because many people who work from a home office are oblivious to what's going on the street right outside the front door. Or they may not have thought about, how do I protect myself if I'm home alone? You know, I've got a list of suggestions when you're ready, you know, to help your audience. Maybe rethink how they protect what I call your castle or your home. Because, again, it's our residence. This is our sanctuary. We're comfortable, we're complacent. And oftentimes we let our guard down, might leave a back door open so we get a breeze, especially, you know, in the warmer months. Maybe we get so busy on the computer, on the phone with our clients, that we forgot to check, where did I leave my wallet and my purse? where are my car keys? Another example, I had a client who had two high-end cars, and they decided that they'd rather park it in the driveway than instead of inside the garage. Not a good idea, but that was their choice. Again, their home had been targeted, and most people, when they come into their home, usually drop their keys, you know, near the back door, the front door, maybe with their purse or wallet or whatever else, their phone. And so the robbers assumed they were probably like most people. And they kicked in the front door, grabbed the keys, ran out to the driveway, stole both cars in about 45 seconds, left the people just dumbfounded. And so a simple way to avoid that is just changing a habit. Whenever you come home, hide your keys, hide your wallet, hide your phone. So God forbid there is a home break-in or a home invasion, it makes it harder for them to do more damage or to steal more things.
Well, when I was an investigator, people probably wonder, how did I get from an investigator to a home travel agent person? But that's another story, and I think I told that story back in a previous podcast. Anyhow, when I was an investigator investigating home burglaries, the first thing I would ask people when I got to their house as a detective, I'd ask, who has been to your house recently? Have you had any parties? Tell me about those things. Most of the time, the people who are breaking into your house are likely people that you know or that you know of. And I think that's your experience, too.
I absolutely agree. Another thing that if you're working from a home office, just to be aware of, are activities in the neighborhood. So, you know, tradespeople come and go. Vendors might knock on your doorway soliciting business. Do you know who your neighbors are? What their normal routine is? You know, when is garbage pickup? When do the landscapers come? I know of a story that is in the book about a landscaping crew that pulled up opposite someone's home. And the person who saw the truck thought, oh, the landscapers are here, and thought nothing of it. But this time, the landscapers drove around to the back of the home where they couldn't be seen from the street, smashed the back door windows, went inside, grabbed whatever they could grab, you know, laptops, jewelry, cash they could find, credit cards, put it all into green garbage bags so that if someone did see them, it would look like these were the clippings from the grass and no big deal, threw the bags in the back of their van, drove out of the place, and no one thought anything of it, until the homeowner came home and realized that they'd been robbed. You know, something that innocent, if your neighbors know each other and they know on Tuesday the landscapers come and suddenly it's Thursday morning, that might be a flag, might be a simple phone call to your neighbor to say, by the way, I thought your landscapers came on Tuesdays. And that might say to them, they were already there on Tuesday. Whoever's there today shouldn't be there. And that may warrant a call to the police just to make sure nothing else is going on. That to me is true self-defense. And again, it comes back to just being aware. You know, people who are in the business of what I call causing the ugly, predators, they like people who are distracted, alone, isolated, no witnesses, and they love having time so they can do their ugly deeds and be on their way. And so if you're in one of those situations, now here's an example for people in the travel business. How often have you seen in an airport or a train station someone who's exhausted because they've been traveling for hours, wanders off into an isolated part of the station just to catch some sleep? Perfect target for someone who's in the business of robbing. You know, they're walking through the station actually looking for those kinds of people. Isolated, alone, distracted, unaware, easy pickings. You know, you may have clients or know people who work from a home office who during the day go out and exercise because it's an ideal time to get out of the office and just break up your day. So they may go for a walk or a jog. If you do the same routine every day and someone is watching you, you're making it easier for them to figure out, oh, they usually leave between 1 and 3. Great time to strike. Or I know they walk down this isolated trail with their dog, you know, every morning at 6:30, and they always walk in the same direction by themselves. That's just asking for trouble. So I suggest just mix it up, change the routine, look around, you know, keep your head up. One of my biggest pet peeves are people who jog or walk with earbuds listening to music and are oblivious to who's around them or who's coming up behind them. And as someone who hikes a lot, I see this constantly out on the trails. You're in a back canyon somewhere. This person's alone, head down, oblivious that 4 men are walking towards them on the trail.
Yeah, I see that all the time too.
So, you know, those kinds of simple changes in habit really can make a difference in just keeping you aware and keeping you safe.
You know, and you talk about when people are traveling and maybe even when they're just out and about, in your book, you talk about taking some precautions with your cash and credit cards. And what do you recommend?
Well, first of all, I think wallets should be outlawed. I know it's never going to happen, but there's no need to keep a wallet in your back pocket. This is just a really old, outdated practice, especially for men. But even having a wallet in your purse, everyone knows that you keep the prizes. So my suggestion is you keep some cash in your front pocket or in an undergarment pocket, especially when traveling, you know, those safe undergarment wallets you can get. And don't keep a lot of cash in your front pocket so that if you do get robbed, you know, maybe they'll take $10 or $20. You can survive without that. There's no need to carry all of your credit cards with you because you rarely need them all. And what I do every morning is I go to my home safe and I look at what I'm going to do today. Okay, so I'm going to go to Home Depot and the grocery store. So I need my Home Depot card and probably one credit card and my driver's license. And that's all that goes in my front pocket. The rest goes back in the home safe. So that if I do get robbed or I lose those things, it's not as dramatic as if someone got everything else in my wallet and now they've messed up my credit and they've stolen a bunch of cash in my bank accounts, you know, and they ran up my credit. Just a simple change in attitude. If I'm going out for the evening downtown where I know there's going to be a lot of people and I need some cash, then I split it up in different parts of my body. So I might put some in my sock. I say to my wife, you know, if you're going to bring a purse, bring an inexpensive one. So if someone grabs it off your shoulder, it's not the end of the world. And either put some cash in your stocking, in your bra, or give it to me and I'll put it in my sock. And if you need something, just let me know. So people think that's kind of crazy. Well, they probably have never been robbed. And I know many people take my workshops over the years who were victims of crime because the people who are in the business of bringing the ugly knew exactly that they're probably like most people. They've got everything in their purse, everything in their wallet. And so, you know, those kind of small changes can make a world of difference. I had a client who was traveling in Europe and was getting on a train, putting his suitcase, you know, into an outside compartment before he boarded. And unbeknownst to him, a good thief with a razor slid his back pocket, grabbed his wallet, and was gone in about 4 seconds. And it wasn't until him and his wife got to the next town that they realized he'd been robbed. Now imagine yourself walking into the next hotel, you've got no ID, no credit card, no cash, and you're trying to explain to the hotel person who you are. And all of that could have been avoided if you just put a wallet either under his shirt in a wallet there or in a front pocket.
Yeah, things are so easy to do. We just don't think about them.
Yeah, and so what I suggest to my students when I do workshops and in the book is put yourself, if you can, it's not always easy because if you're a law-abiding, nice person, it's not always easy to think how a criminal thinks. But when I'm sitting in a coffee shop, for example, I always sit with my back to the wall near a door and I always have a second exit option. Because if something turns ugly really fast, like someone comes in with a gun to rob the place, or a fight breaks out, or a fire breaks out, I want to have a game plan. So before I even walk into that coffee shop, or before I even leave my home in the morning, I stop in the doorway and I do what we call a 180 or 360 degree scan of what's going on around me before I proceed. And if it's safe, great. Keep my head up, my hands free, and walk with an attitude of, I know what's going on and I can see you. That's a huge part of being prepared in a self-defense mindset. And so you can just look around the coffee shop when you're having that coffee by yourself with a friend and just notice how many people are preoccupied on a phone with their head down, their hands full, and unaware of what's going on right around them. That's what crooks look for. And so if you can put yourself in that mindset, you sometimes can begin to change things very easily because you become aware of, oh, that's a bit risky. I'm going to alter how I do that.
And you talk about trusting your gut, and that's something that really strikes home with me. You know, having been in law enforcement, you learn to trust your gut. And I don't know if a lot of people do that.
Well, I think it's harder to do if you're preoccupied on your phone, walking with your head down on the street, or if you've got earbuds in and you're not even aware of how close the person beside you is. You know, and if you walk into a situation, whether it's a meeting, you're going to a travel conference, you're meeting colleagues for a lunch / education meeting, stop in the doorway, check out your exits, take a note of how many people are in the room. Do you recognize them? Where are you going to sit? So if you have to get out of there quickly, where are you going to go? And listen to your gut. Because if something doesn't feel right, I always say stop and leave. And if it turns out to be a false alarm, everyone's still safe. But there are so many people who were walking down the street. I had a client recently who came and took my workshop. She was coming home from the grocery store in the middle of the morning, carrying two grocery bags up her front walkway towards her condo. And out of nowhere, this young guy appeared and said, "Hey, can I give you a hand?" And she said, "No, I'm good. Thanks so much." But he proceeded to follow her. And he said, "Let me get your gate for you." And suddenly he was inside her front patio. Before she knew it, he was beating her up, knocked her to the ground, grabbed her purse, and was gone. And there was a car waiting, you know, 15 feet away that he jumped into, and they sped away, leaving this woman bloodied on the ground. And, you know, obviously in shock and scared and never in a million years thinking it could happen to her. But there's lots of things that she could have done ahead of time to either see it coming or at least know how to fight back. And a big part of what I do is teaching people a system called Stun and Run, which is a down and dirty self-defense system I created that can stop people really quick so you get time to get the heck out of there. And in this book, Self-Defense for Busy People, the whole back third of the book are techniques and strategies for stopping people who invade your space and are trying to do you harm.
And these, I know your tactics work for small people. You don't have to be large enough to overpower an attacker. You just have to know what to do.
Yeah, and so this system is designed on knowing specific targets that everyone's vulnerable. So you're right, whether you're an older person, someone who may have some physical restrictions, a smaller person, gender is irrelevant. I've trained people as old as 85 or 90, and I've trained as young as 14 and 15-year-olds. And once they understand what are the vital areas of the body that you can focus on, you can pretty much stop anybody quickly if you know where to apply that pressure or where to strike. And it's got to be simple, because in a high-stress situation, when your mind is racing and your body begins to go into shock and fear kicks in, it's not easy to remember complicated martial arts techniques. So you want to make it simple so anyone can learn it quickly.
Exactly. And the tactics you outline in the book are simple, easy to use, and may require a little bit of practice. Well, anything that you're going to do and try to do in a high-stress situation, you should practice. But these are simple enough that you could practice at home.
You can practice with a partner. You can practice in front of a mirror. And one of the exercises that I do for myself in the morning when I get up and I do my stretches, I imagine someone approaching me, and I practice those particular techniques so that my body becomes flexible and responsive quickly. If suddenly I'm shoved against the wall or someone surprises me from behind, I've already reviewed a number of these simple techniques, so I'm ready, at least initially, you know, to figure out what's going on, as opposed to getting struck first, knocked to the ground, or you're dazed and confused, and they're off with your laptop or your purse or your backpack, and you don't know what just happened.
We always recommended that if somebody grabs and runs, or grabs your purse and runs, don't pursue them. You know, just take a deep breath and call the police. It's not worth, the property's not worth you risking your life or your health in trying to pursue an attacker.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I absolutely agree with you, Barry. I think the other thing people can do, if they can focus, is take a picture of this person with their mind and try to remember as many details as they can, including things like license plates, color of the car, you know, the age, size of the person, anything distinguishing like a tattoo, piercing, the color of their shirt. All those things can help the police when they begin looking. Because if this person has been, you know, targeting a particular neighborhood, it's likely they're going to come back. And so it always helps law enforcement the more detail you can give them.
Yeah, I agree. If you're a victim of an ugly, as you call them, the chances are that ugly has been around, and police likely know about the person, the perpetrator. And if they don't know about him, he's likely struck other people before in the same manner, same method that he's attacked you.
Absolutely. I've got some tips for travel if you'd like.
Sure.
Tom's like, but I've got two I'd just like to share with people. One thing that I try to avoid is don't tell the world that you're going on a holiday, because the more people you tell, they may inadvertently say, oh, by the way, Steve's going to be away for 2 weeks in Hawaii, which means no one's at home, and therefore there's a target. You know, and that includes someone from the Uber driver who drops you at the airport. They don't need to know that you're going to be gone for 10 days and you're going out of state or out of country. Your hairstylist, people that you work out with, people that you work with who aren't what I would consider close friends, they don't need to know details, especially social media. It's interesting how so many people will announce to the world, you know, we're going to a wedding on the other side of the country. And those people who are surfing in those social medias are looking for those kinds of targets. A big one that people sometimes overlook is to leave a key with a trusted friend locally. So if there's a leak, a fire, a break-in, they're the on-site contact for the police, the insurance people, any trades that may have to come to repair windows and doors. And it saves you the panic and the hassle of having to travel back home immediately, you know, and leave them your contact information, obviously. But that's something people often overlook. They just disappear and don't tell anybody that they trust. You know, would you be my on-site contact in case it's a problem? And the last tip I'll give you, you know, is that if you can, copy all your documents, all your travel documents, even copies of your passport. Leave that behind with a trusted friend, but also leave a copy in your hotel safe. So if you get ripped off while you're out and about on a tour or you're on a walking trip, you've got a backup. And oftentimes, people never think about that. They carry all their valuables with them. And if they lose them or they get stolen or they get robbed, it can put you in a real mess, especially if you're overseas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else, Steve, that you can add before we close out the show?
Well, I hope people will consider either inviting me to you know, speak at a conference or a gathering, or even offer workshops. You know, I've done conferences where I've either been a keynote speaker and talked about protecting your castle, different aspects of your life, personal safety, and then maybe do a workshop. But if they can't do that, I'd love to pick up my book. It's called Self-Defense for Busy People. Probably the easiest place is go to Amazon. Yeah, and I think they'll find it extremely helpful and give them fresh eyes, keep them and their families safe.
Exactly. And I would recommend the book. As I've said, I've read the book. And actually, I think, you know, as a travel advisor, it could be a great gift to give to your clients before they travel, or a gift at any time, just maybe something to keep you out front and aware, your clients aware of you, and let them know that you're thinking about them and their safety, and you want them as a client for a long time. So I would recommend that possibility of giving this book to your clients. Well, Steve, I really appreciate you. I'm sorry.
Well, it's a great idea, and I appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, and it was great to have you, and hopefully people will be in contact with you to do some speaking, maybe at conferences, and put on workshops, maybe some of the local chapters of your travel group, your travel agent groups can get a hold of Steve, and he'll give you some good information. If they want to get a hold of you, Steve, is there a best way?
Yeah, you can either email me, streetsmartdefense@gmail.com. My website is streetsmartdefense.net, or they can call me, 520-822-4338. I'd love to chat.
Great. And once again, thank you. And if you would like to reach me, you can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, and on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. That's the initials for the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And Steve, it was a pleasure talking to you. It was a pleasure reading your book. And thank you again.
Well, thank you, Steve, for being a part of our show. And thank you for sharing valuable information with us. We really appreciate that. Now, if you missed Steve's contact information, you can find it in our show notes at hometravelagent.net. And I want to thank you for being a listener, and please join us next month for another show. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app or in iTunes. Now, thanks again, and we will be back next month. And until then, safe travels. Stay healthy, everyone. Bye-bye for now.